Sexy in Van City may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We are very, very, very glad to have you. So my question to all my listeners out there, what are your thoughts about online dating? I know we've done some shows about different pieces of online dating, and I've heard some good, I've seen some bad, and I've seen some ugly. And for those of you who have, may not have dove into the realm of online dating, I've got a wonderful, amazing person who is on the show tonight who's going to give you a little bit of some tips, some tricks, and just some of the stuff she does, which is in terms of marketing yourself, which sometimes we don't really think about that with dating. We think about it maybe if we're going out to, say, a speed dating or a networking event that we know we need to make sure we look good, etc. And now with Twitter and Facebook, we're very aware of what we need to do online. But sometimes we forget about that when it comes to filling out a profile on Plenty of Fish or it's, you know, Cupid or eHarmony or any of the sites. And so I've got a very special person on the show. I've had her on before, and she's got an amazing company called Try Sweet Talk. And if you want to check out her website, it's trysweettalk.com. And I've got the one, the only, the miracle worker who can get your ad in tip-top shape, Kate Houston. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Caroline.
Hello.
I love that introduction.
Thank you. Well, I think it's really neat. I was on your site earlier today, and one of the things I thought was neat was just that you still blog, which makes me very happy, and just about different profiles people have, and just things that are good, things that perhaps need a little bit, sometimes a lot of tweaking.
A lot.
Yeah. What are some of the, throughout the years, because you've been doing this for a while now, what are some of the, I'd say probably the top five most unusual ones you've ever seen?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. Unusual ones. Well, here in Vancouver, I've seen a number.
Okay.
Just in this city alone, I have seen, I saw one of a man sleeping on his couch.
Sleeping?
Sleeping on his couch. And I thought, you know, guys, if you're not going to make the effort to get the girl, what are you going to do once you have her? Like, lying on your couch is not a good message to send.
Wow, that almost adds credence, even though I hate to say it, to why we get articles like that. There was an article last year in Vancouver Magazine called Do Vancouver Men Suck? And yeah, I personally don't think they do, but when I hear stuff like that, it makes me think, well, yeah, I can understand why some people think that. So.
Well, yeah, but you know what? The women, too, have their issues. Like, I've seen a lot of women who, I think actually I may have mentioned this before to you, that I've seen women who, they'll go online and then they'll list all their demands, everything they want in a man, and they'll just kind of just do this long list, and it's very entitled, you know. I think really it's not that Vancouver men suck or that Vancouver women suck. I think really back to what you had said earlier, we forget that we need to market ourselves. So when a woman goes online and puts this list of demands of what she wants in a man, but she doesn't tell him or tell anybody like what she's good for, that's what marketing is. You have to put a positive spin on yourself and make yourself attractive. Same with the guy lying on the couch. I mean, that's outrageous to me. Like, you go on a, you know, that's silly. But, you know, again, you have to remember you're marketing yourself. Some of the other ones, I look at random profiles all over the world. I saw one of a 63-year-old man who was in a Speedo.
Oh, wow.
A thong Speedo.
Was this at least in Europe?
No. It was in the States. It was just such a bad... I mean, that image will never be erased from my mind. I saw a man who posted his infected foot online. So, I mean, people do outrageous things. So those are some... You asked, your initial question was...
Wow.
What are some of the highlights?
Those are pretty big highlights.
No, most people don't do stuff like that. You know, they just do... they basically, their biggest mistake is that they don't know how to market themselves.
Mm-hmm. No, well, that's huge. And one of the things you did mention was just the photo, where a picture really does, and I'm going to use that, just that saying, but a picture really is worth 1,000 words.
Absolutely.
Where we get 90% of our information from what we see. So if we see an infected foot, or, I mean, kudos to the guy at 63 years old who feels comfortable enough to wear a thong Speedo. I give him kudos for feeling that confident.
Actually, you know what? When I read his profile, I wanted to see why he would do that, because it, to me...
And what was it?
Well, because, you know, there's certain behavioral kind of norms with each age group, and I would see that in a 25-year-old guy, showing his abs off and stuff like that. I don't normally see that in a 63-year-old, but when I read his settings, he was after really, really young women. So... he was trying to compete. I didn't think that was really good marketing, to be honest. I mean, kudos, sure, he's proud of his body, but he is not taking into account who he's really going after. And realistically, a 25-year-old woman, you probably, I mean, go after whomever you want, but, you know, she's got the abs of 25-year-old guys. You know, so if you're gonna compete on one of your strong suits, not on one of your weaker points. And his abs will not compete with the abs of a 25-year-old guy.
And on that note, I thought that was really neat. You mentioned just almost an age demographics, that there are different things that people are looking for, things that they put in their ads. What are some of those? That's a really huge example, like that you mentioned about the fact that sometimes where somebody will show off their body if they're a little bit younger, like around 25, with the six pack, etc., as opposed to at 63 years old. What are some other ones that you've noticed in terms of just some similarities in terms of different age demographics?
Well, younger people will show photos of themselves partying and lots of group shots.
Okay,
which is, you know, fine, but in that regard, when you're doing something like that, there's no problem showing that you love to party. But make sure you are front and center. I've had complaints from guys who say, you know, I don't know who the girl is. Like, she's always in. Like, I have to figure out who it is, whose profile this is. And, you know, people lose interest. Like, you can't. That's one of the things in advertising. The best ads are the simplest. The best ads are really, really direct. So they don't make me do a lot of work. And that is the same thing with a profile. I don't. If I see five pictures and you're in with lots of different people, and I have to try and see which one, I'll just give up. I'll go on to the next profile.
And I think that's something that our listeners need to remember as well, where it is essentially a commercial. And how often do we, even for TV series, if we're watching online, or even if we're flicking from website to website because you're just screaming your Twitter feed, how quickly we go from one to the other?
Oh, yeah. Like, we don't have, you know, most of us have ADD. You know, we're always multitasking. So you can't impose on somebody. And that actually brings me to the profile in terms of the writing, the length. You know, I mean, I don't think too concise is, it tells me nothing about you and doesn't give me a reason to want to contact you. Mm-hmm. But if it's too long, again, you really have to engage me throughout, because otherwise I'm just going to move on. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have to constantly keep me interested. If I'm online and I'm looking at a lot of profiles, yours isn't the only one out there. It's very, very competitive.
And I guess that's a really big thing, too, because when you are online, it's not like meeting people in person, where there is those moments where you can look across the room and where it's straight chemistry sometimes, where you just feel that connection with somebody. You're having to do it just from your, like, just basically what you look like, what you say about yourself, and it's not till you actually meet in person that there's that possibility.
Well, and that's actually another point, a really good point. I mean, people compare online dating to traditional dating, and they make a lot of complaints about it, but the fact is, it's just a complement to something that isn't entirely working either. Traditional dating isn't really that accessible. We're not meeting people in the same way. So online dating is a wonderful complement to it, but it's not the only way. The other thing is, when you are online, you do have to make sure to have the interest. But a lot of people think, well, you know, when we meet, a lot of people think that the process leading up to that meeting is sort of like, let's get through it quickly. Because when we meet, we'll know if we click, we'll know if there's chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that presumes that chemistry has to do with looks, and it doesn't. So, you know, I think the process is really great to allow you to, well, for one, for safety, mm-hmm. you know, but it also allows you to find icebreakers so that when you do meet, if there is potential for chemistry, it will get off the ground because you've already got a momentum going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can be two super hot people who meet, and if you have absolutely nothing to say to each other, you know, it can be the longest coffee you'll ever have.
That's true, and that raises a point as well, just in terms of making sure when you do get together that you make sure it's short, it's sweet for your first meeting. And then if there is a fit, well, you know, you can continue it forward after that, which can be really exciting.
Yeah, and actually for me, I try to tell people, you know, a lot of people don't like the coffee meeting. They don't like the interview sort of feel to it, and I understand that and I appreciate that. I never did either. But if you change your perspective and you go, well, I'm meeting somebody, it doesn't have to be for a coffee, it could be for an hour, but I mean, I'm meeting for somebody just because it's really great to meet a new person. So even if there's no chemistry there, and even if we don't like each other, we've had a few exchanges, I will definitely like this person as a person. So to really enjoy, to forget your objective, which is, oh, okay, I've got to find my soulmate, and anybody between now and then, you have this ruthless sort of, okay, she's not that, he isn't that, whatever. It's sort of like, enjoy the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy meeting a stranger and talking to them for an hour or whatever and not rushing through it. And, you know, you may never see each other again, but enjoy that time.
That's really, really key. Really enjoy the time.
Yeah.
And it could be, I've actually got a friend who just had her first child who she met her husband indirectly through online dating, where she went out for a couple times with this friend and there was absolutely no chemistry. But he thought that it would be a good fit with his other friend. So he ended up connecting the two of them. And they've been together now for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh, you see, and that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. But also, because those two people didn't have chemistry, they nonetheless developed a certain kind of friendship. They,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people approach online dating the meet and greets so ruthlessly. Like, if he's not your type, well, okay, what a waste of time that was. And it's like, you know what? They're still human beings. Like, why wouldn't you just enjoy meeting a new person? We have this ability to meet people we'd never think to meet thanks to online dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, that makes sense. And I think that if you compile that with the comment that you mentioned earlier in regards to take the time to get to know somebody online before you actually meet them in person, that makes more sense, because then that way when you actually do sit down for a coffee, it actually feels really good, where it feels comfortable, as opposed to where it's like, okay, they're kind of hot, I'm hot, let's go meet and hook up in real life. And where there's absolutely no chemistry whatsoever, and going, grrr.
Yeah.
Whereas in reality, you could have saved yourself, you know, the $1.99 it cost you at Blend's Coffee for a double Americano.
Yeah.
If you had just stayed at home and chatted on Skype or.
I agree. Like, I think a lot of people don't actually appreciate why the process is in place. And there are two very good reasons. One, of course, is safety.
Mm-hmm.
When you exchange emails and when you do fill out your profile, you get the opportunity to see if everything is lining up and adding up.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody is saying the same thing consistently, like if I meet somebody, if I read their profile and then their emails, their tone is really different, you know, these are red flags. So that's a very, very important aspect of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the fact that you might find some really great icebreakers. Like, you can have some. I when I was online dating, I mean, I met people who I couldn't wait to meet because, you know, we did go through the process and we had the email exchanges and it was just kind of fun. And I mean, I made a great friend. He was somebody I wouldn't dare go out with. He was just in the throes of having separated. He was like just a mess, but he was hilarious. I became really good friends with him. And it was all because I couldn't wait to meet him after several emails. I mean, I get it actually is a pet peeve when I see not into endless emails. Like, well, don't online date.
Mm-hmm. I am going to be the devil's advocate on that one, if that's all right.
Sure.
In terms of the endless emails, sometimes I can understand that, where sometimes people do get burned because you'll get somebody who actually is in a relationship, who is what I call emotionally cheating, where they might have created a profile where it's not really them and want to have those conversations, actually values the friendship, but is actually hiding from behind a fake profile, essentially. And sometimes those emails, and I've experienced that myself before as well, but I've heard that a lot from different listeners and friends throughout the years. So yeah, just being really, really aware. So I can understand on both ends, if that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense, except that really when somebody says don't like endless emails, don't put that on your profile. That right away puts a condition. It right away sounds negative, and it makes me think that you're not going to tolerate the fact that I want some emails. Like,
yes.
I'm going to want some of that process. However, that being said, there's always moderation, and I'm big on that. Like, you don't want to have months and months of email. I mean, that obviously that's a red flag. That sort of makes me go, wait a minute. You know, a number of emails where the moment you start having a flow, the moment you start, because people have said, well, what's a normal number? And somehow, like, if you go online and you start Googling this question, somehow five has become a magic number, like an exchange of five emails and then you can meet. And I think that's ludicrous. I don't think you should put a number on it. I think the minute you start having a really easy flow to your conversations, then that's the time to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's taking a month, well, you know, if that's taking like hundreds of emails, it's not going to happen. You know, use your judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I think just wait until that flow begins and don't put these conditions on your profile that say not into endless emails. I just find it really negative.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, you
point
can, and it's like the other reason why there's no point in putting that on your email, on your profile, is if I'm starting to write to you, and I'm now getting to a point where I'm thinking, okay, well, we've kind of done enough emails, I would say, let's meet. I feel like we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And if the person doesn't want to, then I'm out of there.
Yeah.
So invest just as much as you want. Does that make sense? Like, I think that answers your...
I think it does.
Yeah.
And I'm going to add one more thing to that, which in terms of for the email, and this is more of a safety precaution, at least at the beginning, creating a specific email just for your online dating as well. At the beginning, if you want to merge that through whatever email provider you have later on, as you get to know that person, so you can use your regular one, that's great. But, and the reason for that is, say, for example, you're using Gmail, there's a wonderful app that I love called Reportive, which whenever you get an email from somebody, if that happens to the email they use for their Twitter, their Facebook, and their LinkedIn, it'll pull all of that stuff up. So you can totally cyber-stalk somebody beforehand and find out a lot of details about them.
Oh.
So if safety is a concern, perhaps that may be, you might want to create a completely separate one and not use that for your Facebook, using it for your LinkedIn, using it for your Twitter, just to keep just in terms of your privacy, at least for the beginning, until you choose to take it to the next level.
Well, but you can also just email on your dating site.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's like, oh, yeah.
It's been a while since I've been, my partner and I've been together now for almost 3.5 years, so I keep forgetting. And ironically, did not meet through a dating site, which is kind of neat because I'm having this conversation because it's been a while for me. We met because we knew each other for well over 10 years and then reconnected again because we used to work together.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's
very exciting. I remember when you were single.
And I know you know all sorts of exploits I got myself into. So, which
you
one
have
of these,
to do that to get the right one.
That is very true. And I think that's one of the big things is that sometimes you do need to kiss a lot of frogs. And not necessarily kiss them, but at least meet them. And it depends on what your definition of a frog is.
Well, yeah.
And I will add one more point to that, too, for the face-to-face meetings. Sometimes It's a fine line, too, because in terms of you want to give somebody the chance, you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but also making sure you have really solid boundaries. So if it really isn't a fit, just being really honest, but being doing it in a kind way, that it's not a fit. So you're not wasting that person's time, but doing it in a respectful, dignified way, as opposed to going out with them because they happen to be a nice person and you feel bad because they happen to be so sweet and so nice and you wish that you found them attractive, but you don't. It's so detrimental to them because there might be somebody out there who finds them the absolute bee's knees and they can't wait to be with them. And basically by keeping them in something that, you know, you're not really into, it's not good for them. So.
Well, it's not good for anybody. It's not, you know, no. The thing is we're adults, and I think that, you know, again, one of the things that I find that I have been able to use when it comes to, for lack of a better word, rejecting somebody, you know, again, people assume chemistry is looks, and it's not. So really, you can let somebody know well in advance. I used to do that when I was online dating. Let them know in advance, you know, by the way, if it's not a click, it doesn't mean that I don't find you attractive. It could just, it's just chemistry, and there is really no defining that. There's no, it's, you know, it's not you. It's chemistry. And I think after a certain age, you kind of get that that is a mysterious factor.
Chemistry?
You know? And it just is. I mean, I have friends, male friends, who I grew up with all my life. Good-looking guys. No chemistry. You know, so... Yeah, and I agree with you. You can handle it very respectfully, and I do think that we as adults, when we go into online dating or any dating, to recognize that, you know, if somebody is rejecting you, it's not that there's something wrong with you. It's just that there's something that it's not working for them. Like, it's not that something is wrong with you. It's just that you are not right for them.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
No, it's huge. And in regards to online dating as well, I think it's important just to be really clear as to what you want, what your needs are. And one more point with chemistry, which always does crack me up, is with chemistry, a lot of times I like to think of it as it's whether or not you'd have a really good child together, just on a biological level. My old co-host, Julia Saunders, who's is a sex educator, used to mention that, which I always found really fascinating, where it's and anybody who is on hormonal birth control, sometimes it has been recommended by different sex educators we've had on the show before, if you're going to take your relationship to the next level, you might want to try going off the hormonal birth control for a little bit and seeing how you connect with your partner.
Isn't that interesting? Well, Julia's brilliant.
She's lovely.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
I adore her. Wow, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So chemistry does, there is a reason for it. It's basically our, to continue our species, essentially. But that doesn't mean, just because you'd have a beautiful baby with somebody does not necessarily mean that it's going to be a great relationship. Because there's just throughout history, of course, just there's lots of people who get together, different tribes of people who've procreate where the children don't necessarily stay together with the adults. It hasn't always been that way. So it's interesting, just in different parts of the world. But
well, and keep in mind too, chemistry. I mean, you can be talking. I mean, I do a lot of profiles for people who are over 50. They're certainly not having, like, the women are not having children, but they still, the chemistry is not that easily defined. So, I mean, it's still this mysterious thing that doesn't necessarily mean that you're unattractive. It just means that you don't have chemistry.
Yeah, but it's the connection.
Yeah,
it really is. In terms of what are women who are in their 50s, their 60s looking for? Sometimes have you found for that in terms of just when we go back to the age demographics, is what people are looking for at different stages?
Well, that's funny because I've noticed that more, I mean, they're looking for soulmates. People who hire me generally hire me for, are pretty serious about finding love, right?
Okay.
Because it's a pricey service. So, but it's funny because the women now are looking for guys who are, like, I've seen, you know, women looking for men who are about 10 years younger, and their setting, they have their settings at men 10 years younger or like 5 years older.
Okay.
Yeah. So there, it's just an interesting, I mean, personally, I wish people, it's too bad that we have those age settings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it matters, obviously, when you are looking, you're in childbearing age and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But whatever, they're there for, those settings are there for a reason. Unfortunately, I wish people would stop. Like, I've had clients who, they really, really want somebody younger. And I'd be like, well, do you want younger or do you just want youthful? Like, there's a difference. So pick, like, instead of picking through this label of younger or, you know, taller or whatever, or fit, ask yourself, what does that mean? Like, what does younger mean? Oh, well, in fact, they generally will say, well, they want somebody who's youthful and who likes to go out and likes to, well, that's, you don't have to pick somebody who's 20 years younger than you. You can, but you can also pick somebody around your age who feels the same way.
So it's more like a zest for life, basically, who
yeah.
wants to still be an adventurer and dive into life. So it's more of a lifestyle choice as opposed to an actual biological age.
Yeah, and by looking at it that way, you open your
possibilities up
absolutely.
To what you actually want.
Yeah.
So yeah. Language is a really big thing. And are you finding with just in terms of the rise of, say, Twitter with 140 characters, et cetera, that sometimes just grammatically that things are different and just even sometimes our word usage. For example, the word young, as we just gave that example, where what they really mean is lifestyle and sometimes in certain cases, but that it may not necessarily. But are you finding that just that sometimes people aren't able to communicate through the written word as easily as they did, say, 20 years ago?
Well, actually, that's such a good question, because my pet peeve is I think that people now, because we text message so much,
mm-hmm.
that people are writing their dating profiles with, like, you, the letter U, and it's like, you know what? You've saved all of two characters. Like, make the effort to write a full word, you know? It's not Twitter. Yeah, so it has, and I find that there's a certain sophistication that has just completely decreased as a result of people using text writing
mm-hmm.
to communicate on something that is meant to be people full written word. It's a little pet peeve. That's a really good question. Gives me a chance to do my rant.
But it's yeah, it's one that I know when I was online dating, and it's been years now, but it was one that I did notice. So
it gets me crazy. And then in addition, usually when I see that, you see a lot of LOLs everywhere. You know what? Not everything you just said is laugh out loud funny. So, you know, do full sentences, do full words, and cut back on the LOL. It's like laughing at your own joke. Anyway, yeah. So, yes, very much so. It has changed the way some people communicate.
Very much so. In terms of younger demographic, and I know this probably isn't the people that you're probably getting client-wise as much, but in terms of for our tweens and our teens, and just in terms of, like, because I know we talk about internet safety, meeting people offline, etc., but even as younger people are starting to date, and I'm thinking in light of, and this is a little bit heavier, but like the Amanda Todd case where she was a young girl, met somebody on, of all places, a chat room, which technically should have been safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I think most people who are listening probably are aware of unfortunately, the tragic act, everything that happened just about
mm-hmm.
The exploitation and everything online, and then eventually the bullying that happened after that. But where it was spearheaded by somebody she actually met on a chat room, as just as all of us are, where we want to meet somebody, we want to meet somebody nice, and sometimes that doesn't happen. And just some things that perhaps, you know, not, but just basically things that we can educate for our listeners out there who may know somebody who's quite young, who, you know, in the next like 2 to 5 years may be actually going onto a site and starting to date.
Well, I have some safety tips for sure, but there's something I want to say about the Amanda Todd thing, because I remember thinking of it too late, or didn't, you know, we found out. But I was thinking that if I had known this girl, right, what would I have done? It seems that her parents moved and everything. I think the best way to have taken that person's power away is for everybody to have supported her by flashing. You know?
Wow.
That would have just done it. I just think that. Anyway, yeah, that was a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Just a thought, by the way. I don't know where that's going to go, but just a thought. I think that if you want to take somebody's power away, then as a group we can. Yeah, I would have flashed. I would have gotten a group if I'd known. You know, I mean, this is in hindsight. I heard this story, but in hindsight, yeah. If ever we hear things like that, if I know of a kid who's being bullied at school, maybe we can get groups together and go in and just flash and take that power away. You never know.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, but I would like to address some safety tips.
Thank you.
And it's tweens and teens and adults, anybody. I had email exchanges with a guy who he considers himself a dating expert, and that's something that if you look into his history, he has no history of being a relationship expert. He has no psychology. He is nothing. He's a former car salesman. He's a good writer, and he started an advice column, and suddenly he was giving advice to women on online dating. And one of the pieces of advice that he gave was, you know, forget the emails, forget all that. Men are visual creatures. Post a lot of photos and go out and meet as soon as you can, right? So I basically said, no, I completely disagree with that. That is so unsafe. It doesn't matter if men are visual creatures. And by the way, women are too.
I was just going to say, as a human being, we are.
It's like, come on. Like, that's such old thinking. And I said, so, and this is about women's safety. And so instead of a woman catering to, hey, let's skip all this process and meet, maybe a man can cater to the woman and appreciate that this is safety anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So all to say, I ended up going to our local police and getting some advice from them on how to handle this. And for one of the things that they said is, don't think that, oh, you will figure it out or you'll pick up on this and you kind of know, and you have good instincts. Instincts won't protect you from a predator. Predators are really, really good at deception. So if you meet in public, don't take any chances. Don't rush into a meeting. Get details that are verifiable. So find out kind of what this person's phone number is, or, you know, just sort of think, like if you're a woman talking to a man, right? Don't give out information that's too personal. When you feel ready to meet, don't be lulled into a false sense of security. Realize that you are still meeting a stranger. Let your friends know that you're meeting a stranger. Meet in a public place. Don't let your drink or your coffee go. Don't go to the bathroom and leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, arrange for a friend to call you during that date. And don't be embarrassed or apologetic for the fact that you are looking after your safety. A guy who's a decent guy will appreciate that you are savvy enough to put these things in place.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to add one more thing to that list because I think it's awesome. When you're doing your meet, if it's possible to meet them somewhere where you're very familiar with just the staff,
absolutely,
where you're going.
Very good, yeah.
If it's possible to choose where it is, it would be really helpful, especially with drinks. There was just a couple articles, actually, that I was just reading about, more in the States as opposed to Canada, but it's something I think we need to be aware of, where there have been cases of bartenders actually putting date drugs into drinks specifically for their friends who come to the bar.
Wow.
And so it might be nice even if it's a free drink or whatever, it might be nice just to be able to control that by going somewhere that you know the staff already, you feel safe, feel comfortable, just to avoid all that. And, of course, even putting a note at your home as well. I used to always put notes up on the fridge, partly for my roommate. So it's like, if I don't come home, this is where I am. And I love the one about having your friend call or text just to check in with you.
Yep.
I used to have the standard one, which my friend Neil, if he's listening to this, we used to call it Date Rescue 911.
Oh.
With that, where literally we get the phone call. And from there, whether or not it was just like, okay, let's wrap it. And then from there, if someone feels uncomfortable, where you have a friend who can either come pick you up, if that's the case.
Yeah.
But because it doesn't hurt to have that, or that you have friends that live close by where literally you can see if you can meet them for a coffee after the fact.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And actually the one where, what was it that you said just right in the beginning? Which, oh, yeah.
Safe
space. To pick a place that you're familiar with and where they are already familiar with you, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, and again, I want to reiterate it because I think we are so polite.
Yes.
We don't want to seem like we're being paranoid, especially if we like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't apologize for having safety measures. And the other thing, if the guy is good-looking and you hit it off and there's chemistry, don't let your guard down.
Yeah.
He's still a stranger.
And I think that's a really big one because I think all of us want to fall in love and happily ever after. And I think that goes both ways as well because I've heard horror stories as well from my male friends who have had online dating, some beautiful experiences as well, but also some not so great ones. And so that can go both ways where you might end up with somebody who may not be quite the right fit for you.
I agree. And that's actually, again, back to the endless emails. I think if anybody who... out of men and women, it tends to be men who sort of write that. I've noticed that seems to be pretty, you know, common with the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that men realize that they, too, have to be careful of their safety. I mean, there are some crazy ladies out there, you know?
There are. And whether or not, whether it's a heterosexual relationship, LGBTQ, It's really key just in general. There's been a lot of cases of missing men in Vancouver in particular.
Oh, God, yeah.
And yep. And I know a couple of those cases. One of them I knew one of the men quite, or I know him anyway. Knew him. I'm not sure what to say about that because he's been missing for over a year. But with that, was dating a very dear friend of mine at the time of his disappearance. So.
And that's gay, right? Was he gay?
No, he's straight, actually. But.
Oh,
even,
really?
Mm-hmm. So things can happen as well. Just so it's important as a general thing, just that we think we're safe. We're in Vancouver, can be busy. You know, we might be because there's a lot of street traffic, etc. But people go missing all the time, and it's really important to
I agree.
Protect ourselves.
I think that like the reason why I asked if he was gay is that I think gay men recognize that other men might be dangerous, but I think that the male female thing, I think. Straight men don't realize that they really can be in danger with females. Or it might not be a female who's going to end up meeting you. Like, just be really careful about your private information. Be really careful about where you meet and be respectful and don't think you're being paranoid.
No, not at all. And especially in this day and age where everything is online, literally.
Yeah. Oh, and I actually, there are a couple of other tips that I wanted to say when it comes to private information. Not to take, when you're taking your photos, to be careful. People don't think of this sometimes.
If
they take their picture on right by their car, they might be leaning on their car at the back of their car and it shows their license plate. Yeah, so just don't be really careful that whatever you post, particularly in your pictures, well, pictures or profile, that people can't really figure out who you are just yet. Like, you let that information happen slowly and at your pace.
No, that's a really, really big one. And I'd never thought of that, actually, with the license plates.
Yeah, I know. It only occurred to me the other day when we were I was in a conversation about safety, and I thought, oh, you know, you wouldn't want to take a picture of yourself by your front door either. And then I thought, wow, your car. Like, how many people lean on the back of their car and have this really cool shot of themselves? You know?
That's really, 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 really key. The other thing that I want to mention as well is just sometimes being aware that you really trust your own gut instinct as well. So if it's going off, you don't feel safe, make sure you get out of there, but make sure you do it safely. So whether or not it's you're taking a taxi to where you're meeting them, maybe a little bit more expensive, but that's okay. bringing your own car, so then that way if they offer you a ride home, you don't have to do that right away until you get to know them a bit better.
Oh, and that's actually another thing, the car thing. Take your time before you go into a car with a stranger. I mean, yes, it's evident on the first date. You might think, oh, it's okay, perhaps on the second. You might start feeling safe after a while. Mm-hmm. Wait until you've met their friends. Wait until you have a lot of solid information about this person before you go into a car with them, mm-hmm. or go hiking with them, or, you know, just back to they are strangers. It doesn't matter that your chemistry is there. You know, once it's great that you have enjoyed each other and you've had a few dates, but if you haven't met their friends, if you don't really know too much about if their details, if there are things that you can't verify yet, mm-hmm. then keep in mind that in that case they are still strangers.
Yes. And the other thing too is I guess my next question is, because one of the other services that you do, which I love, is as the communications coming in, where people can actually have you take a look at what their responses are.
Yeah. You mean emails?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's a really neat one. I didn't know if you wanted to speak to that as well, in terms of creating, basically, so, and how long somebody should do that before they, in terms of the edit, so it still keeps their natural voice, but in terms of that, and especially in this day and age where email, sometimes it just literally flies back and forth, so.
Oh, well, for what I do, I know of services who will do the whole email process for somebody. My whole thing is I want to empower somebody to learn how to market themselves. So mm-hmm. when I do somebody's profile, I use all their words. When they're going online, they're actually going online with their profile, not with a profile that sounds like me. Mm-hmm. So that's for starters. And then, if depending on the service they pick, one of the services is that the first three emails that they do to, let's say it's a guy and he picks three women who he wants to write to, I'll take a look at those first three emails and I'll critique them. I won't write them. I'll critique them in that way that client will learn from my critiques what he can do better or what she can do better. So, my whole thing is to get you started and try and empower you by giving you information on marketing. You're never going to, I don't expect a client, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years, so I don't expect a client to know how to market themselves after one session with me, but just a little bit of information might go a long way in making their emails better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the introduction emails. You know, after a while, you have to let go of the hand and take a, you know, do the emails back and forth. Like you said, they can fly back and forth sometimes pretty quickly.
Very much so. Really, 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 really key. What's next for somebody who's been doing this for a while and is kind of basically almost tired of dating, where it's just been, where they've almost gotten into a rut with it, mm-hmm. where they constantly, maybe they don't respect the whole process of dating. Are there any tips that you want to give somebody who's kind of getting tired and just like, dating in Vancouver? I hear that a lot. So, and in that tone of voice, and any advice or encouragement, because one of the things I love about you is you always come from it from a very positive perspective.
Oh,
which
you're
think
funny.
Is key.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
despite my little rants. Okay, well, that's two things. If it's online dating and you're in a rut, or if it's dating in Vancouver. Mm. So I'll start with dating in Vancouver. If you're tired of dating in Vancouver, the beauty of online dating is you can, you don't need to have the same parameters. You can go outside of Vancouver and you can check out people in Seattle and you can check out people in Calgary. You know, you can be open to long-distance relationships. So that's a possibility. I have a friend, actually, who... She was online dating for years and decided, oh, that's it. You know, she's tired of it. Just as she was going to close out all her accounts, she saw a guy. She was living in Montreal. She saw the profile of a guy living in Arizona. And within a few months, they were married.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she sent me, actually, she did guest blog posts about the leading up to the marriage and two different countries. So, online dating in Vancouver, you don't have to. That's the beauty of of online dating is mm-hmm. you don't have to stick to one city. In terms of if you get into a rut with online dating, again, it's only there as a complement to traditional dating. If it's starting to affect your self-esteem, go offline. Stop it. The other thing, too, is, you know, people sometimes go, oh, you know, the online dating doesn't work. Well, it's there are factors within your control and there are factors out of your control. Sometimes what's out of your control is who's online when you're online. The other thing, too, is we go online initially and we can be really, really superficial, okay? We go after the hottest, the fittest, and the hottest and fittest go after the hottest and fittest, and, you know, we tend to be overlooked. Mm-hmm. After a while, once you become a little more experienced with online dating, your expectations and your superficiality change. So, you know, you might have been online for a while and you're getting discouraged, but you might be online just around the time that somebody else is sort of getting, I've been on for a while and it's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those things that can change it in no time. The other thing, too, is there are factors that are within your control, and that is your profile. Maybe you should switch up your profile, switch up your photos, maybe your choices. Like, people make some very unrealistic choices. As I said, some people go, wow, I want to get a really young, hot guy or a really young, hot woman.
Hmm.
Instead of going for what really is going to make you happy, instead of what's going to make you look good or make you feel like you've won something.
Mm-hmm.
So change your strategies. If you're getting in a rut, change your strategies or just go offline for a while.
I think that's fantastic. So, Kate, what's next for you?
What's next for me?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you've been doing this for a bit, and it's been a few years now, hasn't it been? About 3 years since you started your business?
It is, and I started with the online dating, then mm-hmm. I started adding the LinkedIn profiles, and now I'm starting to look into more, to also do adoption profiles. People who adopt children very often need help writing their profiles.
That's really cool.
Yeah, which I'd love, I love doing profiles. I mean, I love the fact that I love recreating somebody else's voice for them. I mean, I never write a profile. Every profile is different because every single person is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I enjoy most, and that is to really promote the unique quality of each person. So that would be my next step is the adoption profiles.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic, and I think very timely as well, especially right now that there's so many different types of marriage now as well.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, we're in Vancouver where, you know, there's, again, the alternative lifestyles, and it's a great city for adoption. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'd be very curious, and after you've been doing this for a bit, if you have any clients in terms of polyamorous relationships as well that are looking to adopt, I'd actually be really, I think it'd be really neat to explore on the show as well. So, because I think as long as, in terms of happy, healthy family, where the child's going to be taken care of, I think it's great. So,
yeah.
So I'd be very curious in terms of as that continues to grow.
Well, I have to do all the profiles first.
Have you ever had a profile that's just shocked you? Like where, and not necessarily, like, and we've talked about some pretty funny one at the beginning, but if there's other ones that you're just like, wow, like either good or bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, none of the profiles that I remark on or that I might tweet on,
they're not your clients.
They're never my clients. I have the loveliest clients, and the profiles that I remark on are really the exception, period.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I need to make that clear. They are the honey boo-boos of you know, online dating. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had some pretty shocking ones. So there was one guy who made slut jokes.
Really?
Yeah. He made slut jokes on his profile.
Wow.
Yeah. That was sort of kind of like, wow, I'm not sure how you're going to get the girl that way, but okay. I've seen really wild rants, like men and women, but again, I think women tend to to go on the rants a little bit more than men for some reason.
Hmm.
We have some angry women out there. And by the way, on that note, and on back to safety,
mm-hmm.
when I see rants where a woman says, don't want players, don't want games, don't want liars, don't want cheats, all that tells me is that she is powerless. That she, if she is actually expecting a liar and a player and a cheat not to contact her because she's asked them not to, then that tells me that she is really not a good gatekeeper of her own emotional well-being. And that's an invitation to these guys.
See, I always thought it was more of a Bridget Jones Diary kind of thing, which, I mean, I guess that's that describes it right there, actually, the way you put it. But she's got that whole speech about, no work, you know, workaholics, alcoholics, megalomaniacs, emotional fuckwits, and especially that particular person who embodies all of those things. And then Hugh Grant walks in. But
That's right. Well, but see, that's not a good profile, trust me. And it is, that's like a movie, and a safe little movie.
Actually, that would be a really great blog post, which I would love, actually, Bridget Jones's online dating profile.
Oh, yeah, I should. There's a thought.
Huh?
Yeah, there's a thought. Actually, I'm going to take a look at that movie again. But actually, seriously, those rants, those things that people, like when women do that, all that is an invitation. That's like putting a note on your front door saying, oh, tired of all the robberies, please stay out. It's like, well, wow, thank you for telling me that you're obviously not equipped to keep me out.
Hmm.
You know, it's a really dangerous thing to do. I mean, really, if you're somebody who's had so many players in your life that you have to put that out there,
mm-hmm.
then before you go online dating, you really need to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes perfect sense. And on that note, that was one of the things I was going to ask is, how has, since you've been doing the writing in regards to shaping profiles, how has it changed your personal experience for online dating?
Well, I mean, I'm not online dating. I'm with somebody, but how it has changed is that I like people so much better.
Hmm.
I have learned that everybody is really, I can't tell you. Like, I've had clients who've had the most extraordinary experiences in life,
mm-hmm.
and I have clients who've had really modest lives, and each and every single one of them, from the most modest to the most adventurous, has something unique and lovely and quirky and wonderful about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just made me like people a lot more, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really convinced that online dating doesn't work or guys suck or women suck, because my experience has been the people who are, at least those people who are hiring me, are quite lovely, and whoever ends up being one of their matches is going to be very, very lucky.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's amazing. There are a lot of really nice people online.
Mm-hmm. For people that you do meet that sometimes may need a little bit of TLC, is there any people that you would recommend in regards to that perhaps that they might be a good fit to work with?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
If there's certain people that if say somebody does need a little bit of TLC before they're about to embark on the dating world again, if there's anybody that you recommend.
If they need TLC?
Yes. Like, say, for example, our mutual friend Julia Saunders, who used to do the radio show with me, if somebody had sexuality issues that they wanted to work through, I would recommend Julia in a heartbeat. She's amazing.
Okay.
There's a wonderful tantra teacher in Seattle called Tanya Diamond, who I adore. And she's done some amazing work for different couples that I know. Joseph Eliezer, who wrote the book Simply Spirit, is a psychotherapist who's incredible with working with couples as well as individuals. So just if there was anybody that if somebody tells you things and you're like, actually, you know, you might want to look at just, you know, growing and doing some more work. Well, anybody that you'd recommend to any of our listeners out there who might be listening to us going, oh, actually, I could use a little bit of TLC and maybe some more work before I'm ready to you know, give you, you know, send you an email and say, hey, can you fix my profile for me? So.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, no, I wouldn't, because I would be really hesitant to make a recommendation on something like that. Like, I'm a marketing expert, and, okay. and I really honor the boundaries. I guess because I'm in the dating industry and I have seen so many people claim to be relationship experts and claim to have advice, and I mean, it really upsets me. So, I mean, I know some good therapists, and I know some good therapists in the States as well. I mean, because of what I do, I've had therapists recommend me, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend. I wouldn't put. No, I just wouldn't do that. I would not want to be responsible for sending somebody to somebody who, in a field that I'm not really familiar enough with, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was just curious if there's
anybody. No, I mean, I think it's a really good question. And like I said, I don't mind somebody recommending me, because what I do isn't, I have to honor people's hearts, but I'm not counseling them. If somebody asked me, or the name of a counselor, I'd probably have to, I would have to give them a lot of choices, and I would have to do a lot of research.
And see what the right fit is, of course, for that person.
Yeah, and not assume that I would know either.
Well, thank you. And for anybody who is curious, one of the things I do like about Kate's site, which is trysweettalk.com. Actually, let me say that and actually get my T's in there. trysweettalk.com. There we go. That sounded a little bit better. And if you want, you can actually fill in there's actually a questionnaire, which is great if you've got a profile that you're curious about. And you could actually send that to her. There's actually some really great stuff. And all her rates and everything are on the right-hand side of the page, which is pretty fantastic. So you can kind of see some wonderful things. So, Kate, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you, too.
You're welcome.
And have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
And thanks to your listeners.
And yes, listeners, thank you. Up next is Han von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding us through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.